Lord. All right, take your Bibles, open to Proverbs 25, verse 19, as I mentioned this morning. Title of the message, A Broken Tooth. Something that most of us can relate to. Certainly not an occasion for an amen. I remember a preacher one time telling me that he was preaching in a black church, and he said there was a rather large woman that kind of led the cheer. Only problem was that she'd say amen. Sometimes it was just not an appropriate time to say it, but just got in the habit of saying it. And he said, one day he was announcing that Brother Johnson just passed away, and she said, amen. And so, sometimes you just... And maybe she was so spiritual she realized he was in glory. I don't know. But anyway, a broken tooth and something we can relate to. Proverbs 25, verse number 19. Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Let's pray. Father, lead us in this book of wisdom, Lord, to understand and apply the precious truths that you have revealed to us and preserved for us, that we might walk in that wisdom, and Father, and please you. Bless us now and help us in Jesus' name. Amen. In this great book of wisdom, we have the counsel to God's people, and we know the context is in the matter of confidence. And that confidence comes primarily from being faithful, being consistent. And we see here in the Scriptures that the illustration is given to us of like having a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Now you can tell quickly that the broken tooth and a foot out of joint, it does make an appearance. But when you go to use it, it's not reliable. Brother Jim was talking about he's got a broken tooth they got to look at this week. And it's there, part of it. But when he goes to use it, it is unusable. And just like in the context here of the foot out of joint. Now, listen, it's there for appearance. Okay? And I suppose it's better to have one than not have one. But practically speaking, when you go to use it, you can't depend on it. It'll let you down. And it will bring pain and sorrow. And so the Bible's relating a very simple truth to us about faithfulness and having confidence by giving us something we can all relate to in having a tooth, but we just simply can't use it to chew with. Or having a foot that looks okay pretty much, but we can't use it to walk or stand upon. And he's relating the fact that this is an example, illustration, of what it is to put confidence, that is, to depend upon an unfaithful man. And we know that those who are unfaithful are good for appearance sake, but when used to rely upon, they bring pain and sorrow. I was listening to a black preacher. They are so gifted with simple yet powerful illustration. He was preaching on the need for Christians to be together, to have union. And he said, I was talking with another elderly black man who had only two teeth left in his head. And I said to him one day, he said, most of your teeth are gone. He said, yeah, I got two. He said, but thank God they're together. He said, if you only got two teeth, they look a whole lot better if they're together. They may not have but two or three members, but they look a whole lot better if they're together. You know, I like them both in the front like a rabbit versus be on either side. Okay. But here in this simple illustration, the lesson, of course, is that the Proverbs, the wisdom, is to warn us not to entrust important matters unto someone unfaithful. They need to be proven faithful before we depend upon them, before we count on someone. And that is a prominent truth that runs all through the Scriptures. Matter of fact, we look at the teachings of the Lord Jesus as well. We'll do that in just a moment. But you remember 1 Corinthians 4:2, the Bible says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Now, what's a steward? He's someone that has been entrusted with possessions that are not his. Now, if you're going to trust what you have and what you own and trust your treasures to someone, you're going to be careful in considering that. Right? You're going to be very careful. That's the reason the bank still requires a dress code. You know why? They want to instill confidence because you're entrusting your money in them. And so here's something you're not going to see in the bank. The fellow with the ponytail and the tattoos and the earrings in his nose, you're not going to see that in the bank. You know why? Because you're going to think, hey, wait just a minute. I think I'm going to find me some other place. And so they still have a dress code to create a professionalism to instill a confidence in you. And so here the proverb is teaching us that to be entrusted, one needs to be faithful. And it's required of stewards that when you, and of course the context of that is the work of God and the Word of God, to be entrusted with God's work, to be entrusted with the gospel, to be entrusted with the service of the Lord, a man needs to be faithful. Now there is a principle application that many people have violated over the years, and it will come back to bite you. And that principle I was taught as a young man, never put a man in a position of responsibility who has not proven himself responsible. You're asking for trouble. Some people have the idea that if we give them something to do, they'll become more faithful. That's backwards. God said when they're faithful, then you give them something to do. All right, you've proven themselves. You don't entrust them with something important, something serious, something in relationship to the work of God unless they have proven themselves faithful. Faithfulness is required of God before anyone being trusted with any responsibility. And listen, that's common sense. Right? You do the same thing. You know what? If you're going to have some repair person come in your house when nobody's home, what are you going to do? You're going to be careful, right? I mean, you want some references, people they worked before, you want to know something about them. And listen, what do companies do in that situation? They try to instill that confidence by telling you, listen, that they are people who've been entrusted, they've been worked for years, we've never had a complaint, they're solid citizens, they have a good record, and we give them background checks and all that kind of stuff that we do. And so you're going to be careful. If you want somebody to watch your children, right? You'll be careful. Matter of fact, can't be too careful. You and I have seen in the video age in which we live, we've seen the horror stories, haven't we? When they put up the cameras and that sweetheart of a child that lives down the road that's like a little angel, when you're gone becomes a devil, treats the kid harshly, beats them, abuses them, steals from them. And so, listen, it's just basic principles that we use every day. And the Lord's wisdom here is that we need to be careful and understand this principle as it relates to life, as it relates even to the work of the church, that there is to be a proven faithfulness before responsibility is given. And Jesus taught that. You remember Luke 16:10, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And so we have a principle Jesus teaches that you start out with things that are less important, and when there's a proven faithfulness in things less important, then you entrust them with things more important, right? We do the same thing, don't we? We've done the same thing with our children. We do the same thing with laborers. If you've ever had people to work for you and do various things, listen, you take common laborers and you find one who stands out. He's a harder worker, more trustworthy. He's there on time, seems to take interest in his work, has a amount of respect and honor to what he does, and so you pull him out of the herd, so to speak, and you say, listen, I want to move you into a better position. Right? That's just common sense. It's practice, something we do all the time. And so Jesus taught the parable of the talents. In Matthew 24, what did Jesus do? For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling in a far country. He's given us a story to illustrate his work and what he is doing. The kingdom of heaven, the great work of God, the great work of Christ, is like a man who's traveling in a far country. He's going to be leaving his estate. And so what he does is he calls his servants and he divides up the responsibilities. He divides up his portion, his good, his possessions, and says, now listen, I want you to make much of these things and I want you to invest them, use them, multiply them. When I return, I expect to receive a reward from giving you authority to take these things and use them. And of course, promising them a reward. The illustration here is the fact that Jesus would ascend and he would entrust us with the gospel of Christ. He would entrust us with the manifold grace of God, and we are to be good stewards with the manifold grace of God. That is, everything God has blessed you with ought to be used and available in the service of the Lord, because God entrusted you with that. That's God's gift to you. God has given you many areas, skills, abilities, talents, knowledge, experience. God has given all that so that you might use it for Christ. And so we are to be good stewards. There it is. It's not ours. It's given to us by God. We are good stewards. We're to be good stewards. If you can sing, you ought to work at it. Improve it for the Lord. Can't sing, find something else to do. Right, Brother Tim? I was trying to get him to join. We had a small group in the choir, and he said, no, you don't want that, preacher. You just don't want it. Don't want that. I understand. And so God doesn't give everybody the ability to sing. But we know in the New Testament that God has given a gift to every believer, and many more than one. And so those things ought to be used. You ought to be a good steward of that. Good steward. God's entrusted you with it for Him. And we're to use it for Him. And we know in the parable of the talents, what He did was, as He took the different servants that He had greater confidence in, and you remember, He measured out the talents based on their several ability. And so, to those who have the greater gifts, the greater opportunities, the greater skills, He entrusted more with. And He got down to the one man, and He gave him what? He gave him one. Why did He give him one? Well, probably because he lacked the confidence in his faithfulness and his dependability. And so He gave him one. You remember what happened? The one, what did he do? He buried his talent. Now remember, this is the kingdom of heaven is like. Jesus relating a great truth about the work of God in relationship to His people and to those of us who make up mankind. And so He buried His gift. Why? Because He was faithless. And He said, Lord, Thou were wicked. God said, Thou art a wicked and slothful servant. Why? Because He believed that God was hard, cruel, and unjust, and it was too risky to serve Christ. And so He just buried it. Here's the bad part. He gave back what God gave him, and he had nothing else to show for it. You know what I believe that really speaks to? That God gave him one thing, and then God took it back. And when it was in, the transaction was done, he had nothing left. You know, that is a reference and application to the world. Because God has given every man life. And what did they do with it? Absolutely nothing. When they meet with God, you know what's going to happen? He takes the life back. What do they have now? Absolutely nothing. God has given all of us a life. Thank God He has given us salvation through Jesus Christ. What have we done with that life? And listen, thank God you and I can send forth rewards into the kingdom of heaven. And thank God, listen, when the life comes for us, we have eternal life from God. And you and I have rewards that we have sent to heaven on. And so we have invested in that kingdom of heaven, in the future kingdom. It will come. Jesus will come and He will establish His rule. And He will bring judgment upon the earth. And listen, there will be a great day of reward. And listen, we will inherit the blessings. And we will inherit those rewards that He's come to bring. Because we invested in the coming kingdom. People invest in a lot of things today. Some people lose their shirt. But listen, the only guaranteed investment is in the kingdom of heaven. That's guaranteed. That's guaranteed. And you and I can invest our life. And so we find in the principle here that we are to have wisdom in the matter of our confidence that we place in others. Now, notice with me, how we rightly divide these things. First of all, God is the object of complete trust. You and I are to trust fully, wholly, and completely in God. Why? Because God is holy, God is perfect. Listen, God is love, God is life, and we can depend upon God, and God will never fail us, God will never disappoint us, God will always keep His Word, always keep His promises, and we can trust fully in Him. And so, number one, we know this, that God is the object of complete trust. But also, understand this, that we are to use wisdom. We're to use wisdom and discernment in our trust of our fellow man. Why? Because man is not God. Man is fleshly. Listen, we certainly have a lot of dear friends and special people in our life, but I do not forget that they are prone to wander like myself. They are prone to temptations in life like myself. They wrestle with the flesh like I do. And so we are not to be ignorant of that. We are not to be blind to that. We are to always have that as a principle of discernment in life. And so the Bible says in Psalm 118:8, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. And so as we relate things that are better, He didn't say not to put any confidence in man. He said it's better. And so we know, number one, that we ultimately must trust God first and foremost above all other men. Right? Sure. And even the best of men have disappointed, but God never failed. And so, in the mention of priority, we know God is number one. Then he says in verse 9, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. There are people who have nobility and of character, reputation, position, power, and influence. But he said, no, wait a minute. The matter of priority is still better to put your confidence in God than even the noblest of individuals and people with great potential of power. But the Lord has placed us here, and we are social creatures, and we are blessed with friends to whom we call upon without reservation. But not in the same sense of God. Thank God for our friends. Thank God for our church family. Thank God for the people you know that you'd call on in a heartbeat. But we do understand, listen, that I am first going to call on God. Right? Not only because, listen, of who God is, but also of what God is able to do. God is able to do what no man can do for us, right? God can change things. Nothing's too hard for the Lord. And God compels us to come by faith, believing how that God is powerful and able to do all things. And God continually speaks through His Word about the unlimited power of God. And so, listen, we always come to God number one. But God also puts people in our lives. And you and I simply can call upon them without reservation. But you and I do not do that with blindness. We do that with discernment. We are not to trust in man to the disregard of God. Many people have done that in relationship to political figures. They have disregarded God and put all their hopes in a man. I want to tell you, you're headed for great sorrow when you put all your hopes in that one basket of an individual that's going to be the salvation of your life and that's going to rescue you. You better be careful. You better learn, as we all should, not to count the chickens before they hatch. Right? There are many people who thought in their minds that, hey, listen, I can always have this to fall back on, and I can always depend upon it, and they put all their hopes in another. only to have those dreams shattered. As a pastor, boy, I tell you, I could tell you some stories in relationship to people who died and those who were left behind. And listen, they thought, they were sure, but then they were shocked. Some people bitterly disappointed. Bitterly disappointed. Had no idea. Had no idea. I could tell you some stories of people around here. That thought that they were loved and well taken care of. And lo and behold, when it was red, the farm went to somebody else. Didn't see that coming. Shocked, crushed. All their hopes, dreams, and plans were centered in a man or a person. You see, when it comes to our provision, our security, our future, we better trust in God. Amen? And listen, when I look at political positions and people running, I look at the candidates run for president. And you know what? There's some I certainly prefer over others. But listen, I'm not too excited about a man. I'm just not. I'm not that excited. I hadn't built all my hopes and dreams about an individual outside of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Because you know what? Even if you elect a good man, he's going to have about 300 the sorriest dirt to contest everything he does. Right? So I don't get too excited about it. No, we're looking for Jesus to come. The only thing exciting in my future is looking for Christ to come and see Jesus. That's where my hope is. And so listen, when it comes to putting confidence, we know we're to trust in the Lord, and we're not to trust in man to the disregard of God. He's got to be number one. And listen, we are not to trust in man of things which belong only to God. Listen, our joy and our peace and our hope, our security, our salvation, all that's found in God. And we trust only in Him for those things. But certainly, we know in the Scriptures, we know by example, we know through the record that God has given, that in some respects we are to depend upon others. And God has given us a support cast in the body of Christ, in the church of the living God. And certainly it is not wrong for us to depend upon others. It is not wrong for us to have confidence in others that have proven themselves faithful. But yet in our minds always we have that discernment that they're not God. And they are prone to error. And they're prone, listen, to problems, prone to failure. But we can certainly have confidence in those who've proven faithful. There are times, listen, I believe those times would include we call upon others, we call upon man, we call upon friends for sympathy in times of joy or sorrow. The Bible says we are to weep with those who weep, and we're to rejoice with those who rejoice. And so if something good happens to you, call the preacher and I'll rejoice with you. Okay? I'll rejoice with you. Now, a lot of folk are going to be envy and jealous. Okay? And they're going to talk bad about you when they hang up. Okay? Now, listen, but I'll rejoice with you. I like good news. I like blessings when good things happen to others. And then the Bible says we weep with those who weep. And that is, when we hit times of great sorrow, burdens, and trials, thank God we have people we can call upon. And you know when a sorrow hits you or when a great joy hits you, first thing you do is got to call somebody. Right? Got to call somebody. I remember sitting there. Matter of fact, I had the flu when the towers were hit in 9/11. And so I was sitting home, sick as a dog, and I saw the thing, and I actually saw the second one when it hit. And that's when it hit me. The first one I thought was some freak accident. How in the world this happened? The pilot hit the building, and I thought, oh my God. When I saw the second one, I knew what this was. Oh my goodness, then it hit me. Man, did it hit me. And man, listen, first thing I did is I started crying, and I called out to the Lord. I said, oh, Lord, what in the world? And listen, I had tried to call the school, couldn't get Rhonda on the phone, and the next person I think of I could get to was her daddy, so I called her daddy on the phone. And I said, Granddad, are you watching the news? And listen, he was sobbing. And we stopped, prayed with one another, prayed for our nation, prayed for those people, prayed for all those helpers and all that kind of stuff. Listen, when something happens, you got to tell somebody. Now listen, we know our confidence in the Lord. First thing we do is tell Jesus, just like we're saying about. And then we find others, listen, that we can talk to. And aren't you glad God has given us people? Faithful people, loyal people, good friends that we can confide in time of joy, also in time of need. Even the Apostle Paul, what a great Christian, what a powerful man of God. And yet the Bible says in 2 Timothy 4:16, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Philippians 4, he said, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that at now the last year care of me hath flourished. The Apostle Paul, listen, he also rose and fell according to the relationships he had with people and those that were dependable and those that were faithful and those that he committed himself to and those that were his helpers he rejoiced in, and those who turned their back upon him and failed and walked away and were not faithful, they crushed him. And so that's all of our lives. We need others, and we thank God for those we can rely upon. And listen, it also ought to be a desire of our heart to be one of those kind of people. Thank God we have them, but Lord, help me to be one. Lord, help me to be one. To be that kind of person that somebody can have confidence in. That confidence comes from consistency or being faithful. Listen, I tell you all the time, I mean no offense. It's just a principle. I have no interest in the prayers of an unfaithful man. I just don't. I don't. I want faithful people to pray. I'm going to tell you, when you get the report that you have something serious going on, listen, what do you start looking for to pray? People you feel like you have confidence they can get a hold of God. Right? Huh? The fellow who comes to church occasionally on Sunday, and every time you see him, listen, he's got his Budweiser and cigarette over there. Listen, I doubt he's on the list. Okay? And you start looking for something that is dependable, something you can help share the burden. And so what you do, you always look for someone you have confidence in that is in a right relationship with God and can get a hold of the Lord and knows how to pray. And so, listen, we ought to desire in our heart to be that kind of person. Lord, help me to be someone that has a consistency, a faithfulness, such that people can call upon me and have confidence that I will try to help them. Not only in prayer, but also in the general time of need, whatever we need. To be a person dependable. Now, listen, there are certain people you can call upon. Certain people you can call upon. And you can rely upon. Lord, help me to be one of those kind of people. Now, we find not only joy and sorrow in time of need, but also for integrity in all confidences. Integrity in all confidence. There are things sometimes you need to discuss with people, ask advice of, and pray with about, that for various reasons you would not like that to become public. Right? I want to tell you, the talk of the town is not going to be my first phone call. Huh? That's not going to be my first phone call. It's those that I have a confidence in because they're consistent, because of their faithfulness, that I know that I can entrust these things to them, and they will also participate with me in prayer and counsel, understanding the delicate situation. David found that when he was running from Saul. And you know what was very unusual? The one person that David confided in more than all others was Saul's son, Jonathan. Now, he knew that Jonathan loved his daddy. He knew that. But how is it that he told Jonathan his plight and his situation, his whereabouts and his movements? Because by consistency and faithfulness, Jonathan had proven a man that David could rely in. And so, listen, as he was trapped in a situation and needed to know whether he could come or whether he could stay, listen, he depended on Jonathan, and he said, Jonathan, I will be hiding here, and I need a visible sign for you. And you remember when he shot the arrows and they sent him after them? He said, I need a sign from you as to whether I need to flee or can I come back to the city. He confided in Jonathan, knowing that Jonathan, his own daddy, is the one that was trying to kill him. Knowing that he would have the power to betray him. And realized that his life was being entrusted to this man. But he had confidence in him. And Jonathan proved true and helped David know what to do in these situations where his life was on the line. Listen, it's wonderful for David to have a Jonathan. It's also wonderful to be a Jonathan for a David. Lord, to be a man of confidence, someone who can rely upon. Listen, we know, I'll give you a couple of quick points here. The testing of a man's friendship, confidence, and loyalty. The best test comes at time of trouble. A time of trouble. Prosperity brings friends, but adversity tests them. Right? Prosperity brings friends out of the woodwork. But adversity will test them. There is a testing made by trouble. There is a testing that comes from the circumstance of loss. It will test the motivation of the friendship. Are they friends? Are they someone I can confide in because of who I am and because of our relationship or what I have and what I represent? A time of testing for friendship and confidence also, listen, it's not only in time of trouble and circumstances of loss. Listen, and Job sure found out that his friends was a sorry lot. Because also confidence and loyalty and friendship is tested also by misrepresentation of slander. Of slander. How quickly a person is to believe a report without having thoroughly sought for the facts and the truth and the information, but automatically begins to prejudge based upon it. Listen, they were not true friends. True friends, the Bible said, love thinketh no evil. Listen, that they do not believe the report until it's absolutely a proven fact, because they will defend others. And they will defend the friendship, not to the state of blindness, but at least until the state when it becomes a proven fact. They're not quick to take rumors and slanders and believe them. And so, adversity comes as a form of testing. Listen, not only trouble in relationships to circumstances and misrepresentation, but what about trouble even in our character? You know what a true friend does when there's trouble with our character? They come quietly, personally, prayerfully, and humbly to try to help you. Anybody listening? The true friend, the one that will be a confidence to you, even when there is trouble in your character, they come quietly, personally, they come prayerfully and humbly, and their desire is to help. When they go to others first, they fail the test of one you would ever put any confidence in, because others cannot help you. They can only spread the news. And so what does the Bible say in the instructions given to us in the Gospel of Luke? What is the first thing we do? We go to them personally and privately. We don't go, listen, to broadcast it. We go to them personally and privately. You see, we find that these things will test the character of those in whom we are to have confidence. Some of the greatest pains in life have come at the betrayal of a trusted friend. Do you have a story to tell? I do. The story of some of the greatest pain and suffering because of the disloyalty of a friend in whom we had put great confidence. David experienced that and it like to broke his heart. Matter of fact, he said this, "Yea, mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me." I believe that was a reference to Ahithophel. Ahithophel was David's counselor, been his counselor for many years, and they were close and loyal and good friends. But something happened in that relationship. And listen, when Absalom looked like he was going to pull off the revolt against David, you know what Ahithophel did? He joined Absalom and became his counselor. And it got wind to David, and they told him, "Your faithful friend and counselor Ahithophel has given counsel to Absalom of how to take the kingdom away from you." Y'all know what that's like, don't you? That's some of the deepest pain you can ever experience. When you have to go through a betrayal. And so, listen, I wonder tonight, are you a trustworthy friend? A trustworthy, someone that we could put confidence in, something that the brethren can put confidence in to know that there is a person who, in whom we can entrust, that we can have confidence, that we can depend upon in time of need. And listen, you know what? That ought to be everybody in the house of God. Amen? Ought to be everybody in the house of God that we can depend upon, that'll show up, that'll help, that we can relate to, that will pray for us, that will support us, that will be a strength to us. Are we a trusted friend tonight? Have we sought by the power of God to be that kind of person of being faithful? When people look at the consistency of our life, listen, they have confidence that they can call upon you in a great time of need, whether to pray for them or to help them or to share a confidence in them. That's going to come not because you've been sweet to them, not because you're always kind. It comes because you've been consistent. Because you have a faithfulness that encourages confidence. And listen, without that faithfulness, without that dependability, without that consistency, listen, we'll never be that kind of an individual that becomes a great blessing to others that they can turn to and look to and ask for help and ask for need and ask to pray and ask to bless. And so God help us that we might improve this matter of our faithfulness and our consistency so that God might use us to be a blessing. Isn't that what we want to be? If you're saved, don't you want to be a blessing to others? Don't you want to be that kind of person? When you die, wouldn't you like to have somebody say something good? Amen. Somebody to say, "Listen, I depended on them, and let me tell you what they did." I've had the privilege of preaching many a funeral over these 40 years. And I'll tell you what, I've had the privilege of telling people, "Let me tell you some things you did not know about their faithfulness, about their kindness, about their giving, about their character, about their integrity, their loyalty, their love of Christ." And absolutely been able to share things that maybe the average person didn't know of what a wonderful servant of Christ they really were in doing those great things behind the scenes. And so we ask tonight, when you're called upon to help, to pray, when you're needed, are you a broken tooth, a foot out of joint, or someone who can be relied upon in time of need? Help me, Lord. I want to be that kind of person who's relied upon. Broken tooth, it does make an appearance, but you can't use it. Not for long. Now listen, having a bad ankle sprain, you got a foot. And it makes an appearance, looks nice. When you go to depend on it, it won't support you. It won't support you. God help us to be the kind of person that supports others becomes a source of strength and blessing in their life. God, help me to be that kind.